This is the Action Movie Guys Podcast, bringing you action movie reviews from across the decades, plus box office numbers and insight like never before. And now, your hosts of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, Alex and Nate.
Welcome, everyone, to a brand new episode of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, episode 129, Superman the Movie from 1978. We're starting a brand new franchise. We're hitting now the comic books. We never did a DC movie review here on this channel. But again, I'm your host, Alex Figueroa. My co-host is
Nate from Netflix Reviews.
All right, Nate. So we're starting new, something fresh. We haven't done DC, like I said, in the opening. Again, when was the last time you seen this 1978 movie?
Man, you know what? I saw this when I was younger. This was essentially a first-time watch. I really didn't remember much about it. When I started watching it, I was like, I don't really remember much. So it was actually, it's not a first-time watch, like legit, but it felt like one because literally I haven't seen it in like 20 years or at least, maybe more. So it's been a long time.
I'm not going to lie to you. I felt the same way. I do remember the movie, but guys, today's a special way we're going to be reviewing this movie. Nate is going to be reviewing the regular cut of Superman, and I'm going to be reviewing the 3-hour TV version extended cut of Superman the movie. So you're going to get two versions of the reviews for either way. They do sell the movie, so for those of you who want to purchase it on Amazon, they have it on Blu-ray, still available for like $17, I believe, there. You can pick it up. But yeah, so with that said, if you guys are new to the channel, whether you're on YouTube or you're listening to us on the go, you know how we do it here. Our structure is box office numbers, Rotten Tomato scores, then right into our movie review. So let's start it all off with some box office numbers for Superman the movie from 1978. Domestic, $134 million.
Oh, yeah.
International, $166 million for a worldwide total of $300 million on a budget of $55 million on a domestic opening of $7 million.
Yeah, and that's, of course, 1978 money. So this is not adjusted for inflation. And I know we just recently did it on our live show. Adjusted for inflation, it's like $700 million or something crazy. Like, this was a huge, huge hit. So just for some context, $300 million in 1978, big time hit.
Well, yeah, remember, this spawned when the Batman, right? 1989.
And this is the most, no matter what we say in our review coming up or anything, this is the most famous superhero of all time. You know, like it is what it is. Superman, everyone knows him. So yeah, it's a night, you know, the biggest character you could possibly start with. They did.
Yeah. So with that said, now let's get right into what the Rotten Tomatoes critics and what the audience have to say about this film. Nate.
Yeah, so the reviews for this are very good. This has a 94% critic score and an 86% audience score. So we'll call it a beloved film. A beloved film. You know, everybody seems to like it. Critics, audiences, people spent their money on it. It's come out on every format of video, 4K, Blu-ray, DVD, VHS, Laserdisc, all of them. You know, so it's a very well-regarded film.
Yeah, I mean, and the crazy thing is also with the reviews, I believe this has to be one of the highest DC movie rated, right? For critics?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, you know, the Nolan films have, especially think The Dark Knight has very high reviews. And there are some with high, but not like 94 and 86 are like very high.
Yeah, it's like pretty balanced right there. All right, guys. So we're going to throw out all those Rotten Tomato scores. We're going to throw out all those box office because it means kind of nothing when me and Nate give you guys our review. So with that said, let's start it all off with lead character Christopher Reeve himself, Clark Kent / Superman.
Okay. So I'm hoping this doesn't come as a controversial episode, but I'm going to put this right out into the universe right to start. I hate Superman. I think Superman is the worst, least interesting comic book character as far as like big popular ones.
Right.
Let's just get that. I'm sure there's some little like minor comic book character that's dumb. Superman, I don't get it. I think he is overpowered, first of all. I think it's not even the whole like rah-rah America Boy Scout thing. That's okay, because Captain America has that vibe too, and I like some of his movies. But he's too powerful for me. Like, what can't he do? He could you just do too much. So I've never been a big fan, but I always give these movies a chance. So I want to put that out there for anybody. If it, you know, if anyone's wondering. Now, I know we score the characters and I don't love Superman, but I will say Christopher Reeve is fantastic in this movie. He's great. He's a great Clark Kent. I like the switch between Clark Kent and Superman. Sure, his costume is just glasses. It's pretty dumb, but I mean, that's comic book accurate. That's how it was in the comics. Put on glasses and brush his hair a little different and you don't even know it's him. So, but I love the way he portrays each role. Superman, very confident, smooth, you know, like a hero, a really good hero in this movie. And Clark Kent, kind of like a goofy, quiet, shy, nerdy guy. And I think he switches between the two really well. I really like it. I thought he was great. In this one case, I'm going to score him, because if I was just scoring Clark Kent, I don't like Clark. He's not interesting.
Right.
And Superman, again, I don't like him. I'm going to give him a 5. I can't deny it. This is a perfect interpretation of the character, in my opinion, and a great performance. So I'll give him a 5.
Yeah, I mean, look, you said everything right. I gave him a 5. It was weird watching this movie again, even on this 3-hour version of him. And what's crazy about it, because I haven't seen Christopher Reeve on screen for a long time due to him dying, due to part, you know, him screwing up his spinal cord. And watching Henry Cavill, right? Because that's our generational Superman, right? He's all muscular, very straight out of the new comics, muscular and everything. But when you see Christopher Reeves don the Superman suit, I'm like, oh man, he's Superman. It was like, it's just so weird. Like, it's him. Like, it's like how everyone said it when Henry Cavill came out for the first time. Everyone's like, that's Superman, because he's all ripped and chiseled. And you could see it. He is Superman. But it's just something about the older Superman. I'm like, Christopher Reeve has this charm. Mm-hmm. He gives the charm to Superman and Clark Kent. Like, it's weird. Like, he charms twice and he's very lovable. And it's like, it's so crazy. Like, I agree with you. Superman is not my dude. Like, if you look at my entire collection of statues, I don't have a Superman. I have the poster that my man Rob gave me from the Patreon. I have him there. But other than that, I don't have a Superman. I have Batman's. Batman's my dude because he's a human. So I'm like, that is really awesome. You're right. You have a human superhero. And you're right. Superman has no flaws. Only a green rock. If you take away that rock, yes, he's getting whooped.
He can do too much stuff. Like, he has x-ray vision, frost breath, heat vision. He could see through this. He can fly around there so fast. He could turn back time. He's just fly faster than he's invulnerable to pain. It's too much. Too many powers.
Super hearing.
Yeah. It's too many. They could give him every single power possible. You know what I mean?
No, I get it. No, but you know what? In terms of the film, Christopher Reeve's hand down, this is his role. He made it his own and I loved it. It was awesome. It's like me as a kid rewatching it again, watching him going, hey, Lois. He meets him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was always.
It was good. I like their dynamic too. Him and Margot Kidder there.
They do have a good
chemistry.
Yes, they did. All right. Yeah. So, with that said, 5-5 across the board. Gene Hackman as Lex Luthor in the main villain.
Here we go. Now, I'm going to let y'all know now. No more fives from Nate. That was it. That was the only one. And if everybody gets mad at me, too bad, so sad. 2.5 for Lex Luthor in this movie. 2.5. What a goofball. This is a goofball villain. I love Gene Hackman. He's one of the greatest actors of all time. Don't get me wrong. I'm not scoring the performance here. I'm scoring the character. Gene Hackman, great all the time, every single time. What were we talking? Oh, when we did last week, Denzel.
Yeah.
I feel the same way. The guy is never bad. The role may not be up to his skill. That's how I feel about Lex Luthor in this movie. They took what is essentially the most iconic Superman villain, right? Like, everyone knows Lex Luthor. Is he the most formidable physically? No. You know, he's not going to fight Superman. He's a man, but he's supposed to have this genius level intellect. You know what I mean? And super rich. Think almost like, it's almost like if Batman was evil, that would be Lex Luthor. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's got the money. He's got the brains, but he's bad. Now, in this movie, in this version of him, he's a goofball. He wears like wigs and he has like a manservant who's just a doofus. And I didn't like him. I don't remember not liking this guy so much. Obviously, that's why I felt like it was a first time watch. I'm not into this interpretation of him. I think his plan is stupid. I'm going to blow up California. Okay, that's it. He's going to blow up California for land prices. For you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I don't like him. 2.5. I don't want to keep going. I'll let you go ahead. He's kind of whack.
All right. You know what's funny? I gave him a 4. I like Lex Luthor. And yeah. I agree with you with the whole goofball stuff. But again, this is 78. So it's not like they were going to give you like a more accurate comic book writing of Lex. But the thing I did like about him is that he had a master plan. His plan was way better than my man Lex Luthor in Batman v Superman.
True.
He had a better
plan.
Get
to that.
Well, we'll get to that one. But the thing is, I like the plan because his plan actually worked. He hit the fault line. The fault line created the earthquake, which now he flooded everything, and now he brought all the land up, so now everyone has to buy the property off of him. So that's very genius. But again, yeah. Superman came out. The only thing I'm kind of like he figured everything out with the kryptonite hurt Superman like in 2 seconds.
Right. And how would he know that?
But then again, he's a mastermind. So I was like, all right, it is what it is. Goofballness, I don't know. Like I said, I guess it's just a time period. Lex Luthor, to me, sure. I'm giving it the benefit of the doubt with the time period, because honestly, Gene Hackman did a really good job as Lex. Like when he got angry, he got angry. Yeah. Even when he spoke up to Superman, it was actually a pretty cool conversation, cool and collective. Like, you know what? He goes, he's like, what are you going to do? I got 2 missiles. You got to figure that one out. So I thought that was actually pretty cool. I gave it a 4. All right. Action scenes.
Oh, by the way, I want to say, Terrence Stamp, he plays Zod. He's in the first scene of this movie. Yeah. Well, he's in the first scene of this movie. Yeah. He's better in his 2 minutes of screen time. He's a better villain than Lex Luthor is in his whole many minutes of screen time.
Yeah, but he's a general. This is a totally different character.
The point is, okay, but the point is, that's the kind of villain that I like. Oh, I don't so like this menacing. Kind of villain. Yeah.
Okay, I got it.
He's commanding when he does his speech. I'm like, oh, shoot, this guy means business. When Lex comes on, and he got this manservant, and he's swimming in the pool. He's talking about his stupid robe. I'm like, oh, my God, give me a break. Okay,
I already know people. Let it be known right now. We have it recorded. Nate is going to love Superman 2.
Maybe. I've never seen it. I love it. But I've never seen it.
All right, so but action scenes.
Action. 3. I understand the time that it was filmed. Don't get me wrong. You know, if anybody follows us or watches podcasts or like here's our live, I watch a lot of old films. So I'm not marking against the time it was made. I will say the effects for the time it was made are fantastic. Like the flying effects are great. You know, is it as good as now? No, but is it as it's better than some CGI flying stuff I've seen in other movies. The flying in this looks better than the Matrix Reloaded when he flies and that was made 30 years later. So the effects are very good. That's not the thing. My thing is like, it just wasn't, I wasn't excited during most of the action scenes. You know what I mean? Even if you look at 70s movies like The French Connection, another Gene Hackman movie, like it's got this car chase. It's intense. You're into it. There's none of that here. And I get it. This is a more family kind of oriented film, you know, like that you could take the kids to. So I don't think the action was ever going to be the main draw. You know what I mean? It's pretty wholesome. I thought the earthquake scene was cool. You know, like it was cool. But because Superman doesn't really have anyone to like fight, it's not, it's like he's going to go catch this person and catch this helicopter. Like, I like the helicopter scene, the buildup, you know, when it's like crashing or whatever. And then he just flies up and grabs it. And it was fine. I gave it a 3. I could have gave it lower, to be honest, but I gave it a 3. It was okay.
Yeah, I'm with you. I gave it a 3.5. This movie lacked action. Let's just call it like it is. It's not an action movie, Superman. And first of all, not every Superman movie has action. Like, people got to relax here. Like, I think 2 has the most action out of all of them.
Superman Returns, I remember, had almost nothing. We haven't gotten to that yet.
Yeah, that one had nothing. Man of Steel has, like, actually, take that back. Man of Steel has the most. Yeah, nonstop action at the last. But in terms of this movie, we don't get action, like Nate said. It doesn't have villain versus hero. You do get, but it's more disaster happening. Superman is not even in these scenes. It's just disaster crashing all over the place. People are going off bridges and all this craziness. Yeah. You know, you have planes going down. Superman is there. You know, helicopters going down. Superman is there. You know, a cat is on a tree. Superman is there. And
Yeah,
you're right. It does. It doesn't have that action that we're accustomed to in a modern age, where they're giving us full blown action scenes and everything. So with that, I gave it 3.5 because you're right. I gave it because of the quality. I mean, I'm still stunned how these. Yeah, it's like the scene with the water coming down. You can see is a model. It's not CGI. It's a straight toy model. Which I was like, this looks accurate to the damn place. Yeah, that looked cool. The train scene looked modeled. It looks like a model because you can see that the camera's just positioned down and the toys are coming towards it. And I was like, yo, this is actually really creative. And I love stuff like that, old vintage film.
I like practical effects over CGI, even miniatures, and it looks tangible. Like it looks like you could touch it.
Yeah, and the same thing that's why Mandalorian I love it so much because they went back to the toys like George Lucas did. It's not CGI. Those are all modeled behind a green screen, and I was like, this is like so awesome. But yeah, I gave it 3.5. That 3.5. But oh, let me just tell you though, when Superman grabs that helicopter, bro, I was mad pumped. I was like, yo, this is actually pretty cool.
Yeah,
it was really cool.
I like that scene. But yeah, he grabs it with one hand. It looked weird. Like the way he was holding it was weird.
But I love when he came out though, right? Because he's running. Yeah. He's like, he looks up.
Oh, he's looking for the phone booth.
Yeah, and he's like, that's not working. And he spins and he changes. Yeah. The guy goes, hey, that's a cool suit. He was like, excuse me.
That like, part was good. And the music starts. The music. Yeah. It starts like building up.
Cool. I was like, yeah. And that's the thing. And we keep talking about it. The score. You know, I talk about that during the overall.
Yeah.
Because the score is so freaking good in this movie. But yeah. Okay. So we gave it 3.5. You gave it a 3. Storyline.
I thought the storyline was good. I feel like I see why this has such good reviews from critics because it is a well-written movie. It's funny, like Mario Puzo was one of the writers on this and he's like, did The Godfather? It's kind of weird, but that was cool kind of to see his, you know, name in the credits. Yeah, it's a good story. As far as it's an origin movie, right? I will say the first 30 minutes or so is really boring. I hate the beginning on Krypton. It is so boring. Nothing happened. Like the scene with Zod when it gets put in the freaking piece of glass, that was pretty cool. Like when him yelling, everything else. And maybe it's because I have like, okay, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but like Man of Steel has Krypton scenes and they're so much more interesting than these Krypton scenes. Like they're just there. You could tell it's just like a big white set. It's not really like, they don't show the world. They just show like one little area. There's no scope in those early scenes. You know what I mean?
But they had it in the 3-hour cut.
Okay.
They had the whole thing in the 3-hour
cut. Well, I don't know why they decided to not just put that in the regular because all it looks like is a bunch of people standing in a white room with aluminum foil clothes on. So it was weird. It's all shiny. I was bored. I was like, when is this movie going to get going? The Smallville stuff is like, it's okay. Like, you know, running fast and all, whatever. I do think they, for an origin movie, they did rush through that a lot, but I feel like Superman's one of those characters that they don't, like everyone knows the origin, so you don't want to spend too much time on it.
Yeah.
It's a give and take. However, I think it's well written. I like the dialogue. I love the relationship with Lois Lane and Superman and Clark Kent. I will say this, whoever had the bright idea to make Lois Lane not be able to spell is one of the worst ideas ever. She works at a newspaper and writes articles and she can't spell any words right. I said, what a joke. Imagine getting a job like where you have to answer the phone, but you don't know how to talk. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
I can't spell anything. And yet I work at a newspaper. It was not funny. It was aggravating me that every time they're like, you massacre spelled wrong. Brazier doesn't have a Z. Okay, she can't spell. What? Like, get off. Why can't she spell? Whatever. Anyway, I liked it. I thought the story was good. I gave it a 4. The only thing that kept it from maybe like a 5 for me. Again, I know you kind of dug Lex Luthor's. I didn't like him, and I didn't like his plans. So that marked it down a little bit. And the beginning's really boring. So a 4.
Yeah, you know it's funny. I'm below you. I gave it a 3.
Ooh.
And the reason, and you know why, is because the 3-hour cut. I think that's the reason why I gave it a 3. I don't think it's because of the original cut, because I think the original cut flowed better in terms of going from A, B, and Z. I got the 3-hour extra 45 minutes into the film that they cut out. So I think that's the reason why I'm like, I gave it a 3. The 45 minutes did not work for the movie. Gotcha. So I kind of understand
maybe
why.
Maybe that's why they cut it.
Yeah. And again, the storyline, in terms of the master plan, Lex Luthor had a master plan. He executed it perfectly. And I'm like, that's cool. We got Superman in his home planet. We got Superman landing. So we got the little bit of the origin in the movie, but I agree with Nate. I cannot stand Marlon Brando. I'm so sorry.
God. What was he doing?
I'm sorry. I remember me and you talking about this, and I'm like, I know you love Godfather. I'm not a big fan of it. I thought it was a good movie. I just cannot stand Marlon Brando, and I hated Apocalypse Now with him. So it was just like, it's a weird trend thing. I know people are saying he's like the greatest actor ever. And
well, his best work was like in the 50s and stuff. That's why.
When he was younger?
Yeah, when he was younger. Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Older Marlon Brando is not good Marlon Brando.
No, he's not. And I know he's like the original Jor-El. I'm sorry to say, ladies and gentlemen, Russell Crowe is my Jor-El. I like him way better, but again, different writing, different take on the characters. But in terms of the storyline, we got what we got. That Krypton scenes were all horrible.
Whack.
Once he comes into the States, the Daily Planet, I thought that's when the movie came to life. I thought it was funny. Perry White had me laughing the whole movie when he was like, "Get me sugar and don't call me sugar." He went, he started thinking
that was good.
Like, that was funny. Every time he kept talking about stuff, I was like, Perry White was a funny, he reminded me of the guy from Spider-Man, the one.
Oh, J. Jonah Jameson.
Yeah, he reminded me of him. But
similar,
Yeah, it was a funny version, not yelling. Yeah, instead of yelling all over the place, but he was just funny. But yeah, so other than that, I think in terms of story, I think you're right. It was a perfect balanced script with, you know, some flaws here and there, but it's a good start for the Superman series. It wasn't a horrible movie. This is a good start. All right, so I gave it a 3.5. You gave it a 4. What's your overall?
My overall is your same score for, I don't know, I gave it a 3.5. It's a 7 for me. It's a 7 out of 10. Like, it's good. It's a good movie. I don't hate it. I don't love Superman. So if you're going to do a Superman movie, you got to do something that Nate likes. And this doesn't do anything I hate, but it doesn't really do anything that makes me go, wow, this is, you know, like a movie I want to watch a lot of time. It's too long. I couldn't imagine a 3-hour cut. You're brave for doing that version because a 2.5-hour version is too long. Again, the whole first act is so boring for the most part. The second and third acts are better. They pick up. Yeah, like it is what it is. It was fine. It was a pretty good movie. I would fall into the 94% that gave it a positive score. You know, like, it's a good movie. I just don't think it's like my favorite, but 3.5 out of 5.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I gave the overall a 4. I think for a beginning of a movie, I think it was solid. I think Christopher Reeve is, to me, that elevated the movie. Cause once he came on screen, it just became another thing.
Yeah.
And all right, so let me just talk quick about the extended cut of this movie, because I haven't had time to talk about it. I'm going to do it really quick. I have a quote here from Richard Donner on why he cut out the 45 minutes of the film. And I think this is something that I think you will think it will be interesting. So you let me know what your thoughts on, because this is his actual thoughts on the 45 minutes quote. Okay, so here we go. He was on a podcast called Spotlight at Star Trek Podcast. So he was there as a guest. And they asked him about the Superman the movie extended TV version. So this is his words. He said, "It's terrible. That was an original ensemble. It was nothing more than an ensemble. And we cut most of the bad shit out." Bad shit out. "And in a good taste, the producers decided in those days, if you sold a picture to television, you sold it by length. The longer the film, the more money they got. So they went back and they got somebody, not Stuart Bird, I guess he's the original guy who edited the film.
Oh, okay.
To put all the footage back in that we'd taken out. So now the same thing in good taste, Warner Brothers TV or whoever the hell stupidly is doing this, just took the same shit and they're putting it out to the audience to make a buck. Bad taste."
Oof.
So he's giving an honest opinion.
This is not his. This is no sort of director's cut.
No.
Regular movie is his director's
exactly,
cut.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. And the second one, I think, is his cut because it's Richard Donner cut.
This is a cash grab.
This is a cash grab. Yeah. It's like, oh. So you can see it here. He's kind of annoyed that they took his work and then re-putting it out. That sucked. Now, I did some more digging. I said, all right, let me get some digging here for Nate, because I was like, this is some good stuff. Where did this footage come from? Here we go. In 2000, Warner Brothers released a DVD, used 8 minutes of it, calling the release the Expanded Edition. I don't know if you guys never knew this, but it's called Superman the Movie, the Expanded Edition, had 8 minutes of this horrible footage, right? So then the TV version is 45 minutes of the footage added back in. To me, the 45 minutes did not work. So I don't know if yours started off this way, but the beginning I thought was really cool is the kid is reading the book, the comic, the original Superman comic book. It opens up like a theater.
That's how this one started.
Yeah. It's in black and white. I was like, oh, this is pretty cool. Then it goes to this lengthy Krypton scene with Marlon Brando. And the scene with him and General Zod is longer. The destruction of Krypton is mad long. I mean,
no, this one's really short.
No, this one is long. Like, people are like going, oh, I didn't see thing landing on them. Things are blowing up here and there. And then the icing of the cake, when the planet decides to blow up, right? You see that it's behind a curtain because you see the curtain in black when it's about to go boom. You see the curtain folded. And it goes boom. I was like, okay, you can see that they blew it up for real. So then you see a lot of footages, like the scenes that the destruction of the ending when Lois is trapped and everything is going chaotic. That whole thing is long. Bro, long. Christopher Reeve's not in it for like 20 minutes, bro. I think it was 20 minutes. Like, it could be 5 minutes, but to me it was 20. But it was just long, different montages of destruction all over the place. And I'm like, this does not work. It does not work. I was like, this does not work. Yeah. When Superman decides to turn back time, which he does not have the power to do that, ladies and gentlemen. Let's let you know right now. He does not have that power. The Flash does. He starts to fly up and Marlon Brando comes out. His in the storm cloud. And he goes, you know, you cannot interfere with human events and all this.
Human history.
Yeah, human history. And all of a sudden, he's like, and he starts going in circles and circles, and then you see everything coming back. So that was new. I didn't like it, because I'm like, why the hell did he come out in a cloud? Like
Mufasa.
Like straight Mufasa style. So I was like, that didn't work. A lot of scenes with Marlon Brando, they added in. And it just did not work for me. Marlon Brando did not work for me in this. And I kind of see why he said it was shit.
Anything we needed more of, Marlon Brando ain't it.
Yeah, did not work. So anyway, for those of you out there, take it the way you want it. I do not recommend it. Normally, I go director cuts are the best cuts. This is not a director's cut. Yeah, this is Warner Brothers cash cow cut.
The cash cow cut ain't the one.
It's not the one. It's really bad. But if you want to own it for your collection, it's awesome because it's a cut that it's not going to be on 4K and is not available anywhere else. $17. Boom, you have all the cuts from the original, the expanded, and then all the new ones that come out after that. I gave it a 4. Like I said, I think it's very well done, and we have not hit this. John Williams' score in this movie is one of the top best superhero scores ever. After rewatching this movie, dude, the new Superman movie's got to have the theme now back. I don't know why. They have to bring it back because there's something about the theme. I don't know about you because I know you said you haven't watched it in a while.
Yeah.
But when you saw it, did you start to get amped? When you see him starting to run and hear the din, 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 and then you see him going.
Yeah, I liked it. I like the score a lot. I think it is it's iconic. The fact that I haven't seen this movie since I was a kid, but if you played me the score, I would know what movie it is, tells you a lot about the score itself.
Yeah.
I know the Superman theme without having even seen the Superman movie since I was little, pretty much. So yeah, I agree. And as far as superhero scores go, I would say it is one of, even to this day, one of the best. Iconic, memorable. There are ones I like better. Maybe even in this, I mean, we're going to be talking about some more Superman movies here, but this is probably the best overall Superman score, I would say. Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, it's just something about it. Like, and it feels so relieved. Like when you see him save someone, it's like, bing, 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 and you're like, yeah, Superman. Yeah. Like you all clapping.
Maybe that was
like
the goal.
Yeah, I think that is, but it's just crazy. But like John Williams knows like how to capture emotion. And put it and let it come out. Because honestly, dude, like every time you see like someone, whatever, and you hear the dun, 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 and you're like, oh, my man is coming somewhere. You don't know where he is. And then it's like, bah, 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 and it comes mad loud. And then all of a sudden, I was like, yo, this is the best. Like, it's so cool. Like when you hear the music come out. And I remember me and you talking about this, but that's something that's missing now. Mm-hmm. Like now, if you tell me like, what's the new Batman theme? I'll give you the one from 1989. I can't give you the ones now. There's nothing new to the ones that it's memorizing. Superman is the same thing. I know Hans Zimmer did the one for, and I know that one's highly achievement. Everyone loves it, but another theme that I can't even hum at you. Whereas John, you go, John Wayne Superman, everyone's like, bah, 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 bah. You know, they have it on their ringtones and all this. But that tells you the quality of the composer, like how good that composer is and how well he is. So anyway, what is your total points?
Total is 18 out of 25. So I know I hyped that up as if I was going to give this like a two. It's not that bad, but there's just things I don't get why everybody loves it so much. Mm-hmm. 18 out of 25, you said something there and it pretty much sums up my feelings. I'm at this point, what I'm trying to do is really be as open as possible because, and not comic related, just movie related. The fact that Superman can fly around the Earth, being the size of a regular human and somehow spin the Earth around to make it go back in time, automatically makes me not like him. Because at that point, there's no stakes. It doesn't matter what happens because he could just fly around the Earth and turn back time. So Lois Lane dies. Nah, I'll fly around the Earth and turn back time. If his mom died, nah, I'll fly around the Earth. Like, you know what I mean? That sort of power where it can eliminate anything bad that happens makes it uninteresting for me to watch. So that's the sort of thing. And I hope it doesn't happen in the future movies. Don't tell
me. No. That's not his power. Like the only one that could do that is the Flash.
I'm saying I hope it doesn't happen in any more of these Superman movies. No, I don't know. But it's very stupid. And you know, those are the kind of powers that when heroes have them, it's like, well, I'm less interested in that hero. So but still, 18 out of 25. Good film.
I give it a 19 and a half. Very I agree close. With you. It's a solid movie. Actually, it's a solid to great movie. Depending on the person that loves the Superman, you're going to think it's great. It's a perfect movie. To a normal average person, it's a good, solid flick. Yeah. I think, it's a good, solid flick. I enjoy it. Would I rewatch it again? Maybe another 20 years or something like that. I'll pop it back on. But Marlon Brando kills me. I don't know if I could sit through that.
Aluminum foil shirts. It was weird. It's all shiny and reflective. I was hurting my eyes.
Yeah, so there you have it, guys. We already tackled the Superman 1. Nate, you know what to do.
All right, so coming up next episode, we're going to be continuing Black History Month with a little bit of Equalizer 2, starring Denzel Washington. And of course, next week, first time watch for me, Superman 2, The Wrath of Khan. No, Superman 2, I'm going to be... Are we both doing the Richard Donner cut, or is that the only one?
Yeah, we're both doing the Richard Donner
cut. Okay, the Richard Donner cut, Superman 2, first time watch, very excited. I know General Zod's in this one. He was in the first movie for about 5 minutes, best 5 minutes of the whole beginning 30 minutes. So I'm actually excited to watch that one to see how that plays out. So those are going to be our next two episodes. So keep an eye out.
Yeah, guys, if you want to follow us on our social media accounts, please follow Nate over on Instagram at Nateflix Reviews. Check out the podcast with him and his friends called Nateflix Movie Reviews. Anything action movie, guys, you can head over to youtube.com/levelsofgeeks. Check out our video version of the podcast. If you want to listen to the audio version of the podcast, hit up any of your platforms that you listen to your podcast on, whether it's iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, again, anywhere available in those any platforms. Again, action movie guys on the search bar, and of course Twitter at Levels of Geeks. We're there mainly. Other than that, I'm your host Adam Figueroa, and that is
Nate from Nateflix Reviews.
Be awesome to each other and geek out.